Today's sermon is entitled Sitting is Moving. Well, for Philip, that's obviously was the case. He sat a lot and he moved a lot, but it's not the same. I'll get to the crux of that a bit later. I like to keep ropes or keep handles on what God's been saying to the congregation the last couple of weeks. Even though we're changing faces and personnel, God didn't change, and His heart for this church, for this area, didn't change either. And likewise, His mandate for us as Shofar Table View hasn't changed. And as I said earlier, we're getting onto His page. Now, a couple of weeks back, you'll be reminded that Tien's shared a bit on vision and values of the church. And just as a Shofar church, what's God's heart? What's the calling for us? And that might just make sense of why we're in Table View, why we're in the Blouberg, Melkbos area. Because there's a church on every second corner. But yet, we believe and we know that we've got a specific calling and mandate that we need to fulfill in this area. And just after Tien's has shared that, Tien's Jacobs then last week just shared on the same type of thing, in that he mentioned that good church, bad church, and he shared out of James. Now, Tien's, obviously an astute learner of the word, made it very practical for us, and I really enjoyed it. And he said that church should actually be a picture of heaven, a heavenly community manifesting here on earth. The way stuff should happen, I wanted to say upstairs, but in heaven, how it should manifest here around us. In a very dark, difficult community, for instance, a church should be a light, a beacon, of how things should work in God's kingdom. And that was quite a challenge for me, firstly. And then secondly, I realized that I need to ask myself a few questions and ask myself, are we living up to that? Thing is, it's not for us to be able to do that, but it is for God. And that's when he mentioned a word that really stuck to my mind, and that's the word authentic. He just said that, or posed the question, is our church, or is church authentic? Is it real? And I just want to commend Demi on that, and thank you for being real this morning. If I pull you aside, I'll pull you aside for thanking you for being real. Thank you for being real in God's presence and helping us in doing so. And likewise, as a church, albeit in work, albeit at home, albeit in your marriage, albeit on your bicycle, far away from here, is the life we're living out an authentic Christian life? Don't know if any of you recall, there was a Vintuk Lager ad where the guy comes across and then he tells the guy, keep it real. Okay, no beer drinkers here. All right, I'll tell it in another place. Tienstein Losti, just as we get into today, Tienstein Losti said, church is a prophetic community led by Jesus. That sounds very awesome. That sounds very spiritual as well, but it sounds really good. Church is a prophetic community led by Jesus. Ryan, just, you're more than welcome to go to the first slide. Most of it is on there. So the two things that came to mind to me and that struck my heart was authenticity, and the church is a prophetic community following Jesus. Now let's use that as a foundation or a basis for today. At intercession on Thursday evening, I just quickly shared with Wimuan and the others what is on my heart to share today. And he was quite excited, almost like a young boy wanting to jump off his chair. In that he told me, well, that's exactly what God told them the night before at cell. So in other words, what I had on my heart was what they shared at their cell the night before. So I think this is true to what Demi also said earlier today and what we experience in worship. And you'll see right now why I say that. So we've looked at church collectively. For me, I've got a heart for that, but also have a pastoral heart, and I like relationships. So today, I really want us to maybe just draw a few comparisons to us individually. Collectively, this is what church is. Collectively, this is our visions. This is our values. Awesome. That's all sorted. But let's draw it back to its roots. Let's draw it back to me and you. But first and foremost, me and God. You and God. There's an awesome story in Luke 10 that I'll come to right now. Brian, you can, if you don't mind, go to Luke 10, verse 38. Thanks a lot. And before I do this, I believe that for me to be successful as a Christian, for us to be successful as church, to truly reflect, to truly be that prophetic community of Christ, to truly reflect our Christianity, it all depends on what goes on behind closed doors. What happens in mind your closet with God? That moment we had with God corporately this morning, I know that Demi has that at home. If Demi didn't have that at home, we couldn't have it here today. Does that make sense? Let's quickly read this part in Luke 10. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." Now Martha was distracted by many things. Yeah, Jesus and comes in and he visits a place, and his disciples are probably with him, I'm not sure how many. And obviously, traveling, they might be hungry. And as they come in, Martha invites them in, and being the nice, housely lady that she is, she just wants to make sure that everything is right. Everything is sorted. All the cups are on its place. The food is prepared. Everything is set for Jesus and his pals to have a meal, for them to be comfortable, etc. Save for that, I'm sure that she had a few other things on her plate as well. Jesus correctly points out and says, "You're distracted. You're anxious about many things." Now in that moment, let's just take it down to our individual lives again. We just stop and just think for a moment by yourself. I don't want you to put up your hands. What are the many things in our lives? I think it's best maybe to testify out of my own life. I had this big dreams of, we had this big dreams and God's promises of moving us out and taking us to the next place, which we then, for New Year's, is Tableview and bringing us out here, and we moved out to Melkbosch. But in that process, as we unpacked and packed in 4.5 years of Malmesbury, I realized how much stuff we actually have. We have a lot of stuff. And then in that moment of taking transfer to Melkbosch, I had to sort out a bunch of stuff. Firstly, your insurance you need to sort out. We were renting. You need to cancel your rent and chat to that people. Make sure the house is fine. That window that's got a chip, that needs to be sorted out. The grass needs to be nice and tidy. There in the corner where Maymay, our dog, started to try to burrow his way to China, I need to fill that up and sort that out. There's a couple of people I need to go see. There's stuff at church in Malmesbury that I needed to attend to. There's a few things that, I don't know if any of you have a desk that there's files that you just put there way on the furthest corner of your desk that you really not can't touch. And if you put a cup or something before it, you often forget about them. Now, stuff like that I had to sort out before we got moving. There were many, many things. And especially in a move like that, a transfer like this, I realized how many things in my life there is. So we decided we're going to move on the 20th of June so that when the first week comes, we can hit the road running. We can sort out stuff and church can happen. Now, we moved in on the 20th. There was a burst pipe somewhere early in the year, which they fixed up. And I said, fine, we'll start paying. We want to move in on the 20th, and by the 19th, everything needs to be sorted out. Why? Church needs to happen. Why? We want to hit the road running. Why? I want everything in place. Long story short, we moved in, nothing was done. So what happened is the insurance people of the owner where we currently renting, and I don't want to discriminate myself or get any lawsuits. Everything is sorted out and we're forgiven and we're blessed and things are at a good place at the moment as I stand here. So I'm just telling you the story. So after the 20th we move in and everything seems nice and dandy and a guy from an assessor from the insurance comes in again and he says, well, sorry guys, they couldn't have put down this floor because everything is just still soaking wet. You need people called, and I don't want to advertise them, people that dry out the place. You need to get in. You need to lift this floor again. You need to take out all the cupboards of your kitchen, and then it needs to be dried out. That takes 7, but it can take 9 or longer days. And after that, the floor gets put back in, and the whole kitchen, or at least all the cupboards on the floor, get redone. Okay, now, gelukkig kan ek nie vloek as ek hier voor staan nie. Well, as ek enige plek staan nie. But, so you can just think what went through my mind. Now, Charlo, it's very nice having you here, but Oom Charlo, I got to know in Malmesbury, and we both, God is really a redemptive God. We both were practicing law before. Him obviously a bit longer than myself. So obviously the lawyer in you wants to manifest when stuff like this happens in your home. Because I did everything to sort out that family is fine, that everything can happen once we hit the road on the 1st of July. And now this happens. So this week, Edna needed to pack up the kids and a lot of stuff, all of her admin that she needs to now start doing for church and go to my mother-in-law for 2 to 3 days. I needed to climb over machines and stuff and never mind the major noise that it makes, just to make myself a cup of coffee. It was not the ideal start. So it's God's grace that I'm standing here, first of all. So thank you, God, for that. It was not the ideal start. But what I just realized is in this week, while having fights with these people, sorting it out, checking my heart, biting my tongue, praying and blessing, I just realized how many things there are in my life. How many things needs to happen for me to just be at rest. And obviously God gave me this word because He knew what was going to happen. I had to get to a place where even though all hell broke loose, or so it felt, I had to get to a place where I can get still and get back to His feet. So that my challenge to you this morning is, what is the many things in your life? What is the many things that you're currently busy with in your life? What is the many things that might be distracting you? Ronald so wisely put to us that even in your finance, what is the many things concerning finance that's bogging your life down? And it's not only finance, it's quite a few things that can be going on in your life. In church, right here, hier waar die tekkie die teer slaan, what are the many things that's going on? What are the many things that we're busy with? Even in my relationship with Edna, I have to realize that sometimes there's many things that distract or can distract and keep us from a place of true intimacy. So Martha was a bit busy with many things. And as I just pointed out to you, all of our lives are filled with many things, but there we need to start making some choices, some Mary-like choices. And let's get to that good part. Jesus rightly points out that Mary chose the good part. And in worship today, I believe we came to a place where we chose the good part as well. The thing is, Mary wasn't lazy at all. She wasn't lazy. She was probably busy helping beforehand. But when Jesus stepped in, she immediately realized what was going on. She knew who just stepped into the building. We can have a lot of stuff going on here or at home. But let's take this as an example. If stuff is happening here in church and we're getting stuff ready and Jesus in the flesh should walk in that door, what would our reaction be? What would we be keeping ourselves busy with if Jesus truly, physically walked in the door? And I like the Mary heart here. She knew that, yeah, stuff needs to happen. And there's so many things in life that needs to happen. But she realized in that moment that here's a God moment. Here is a time of intimacy. Here is a time where I can get the living word of God into my life. Here is a divine moment where I can sit at the feet of my King. And sorry for referring so much to it, Demi, but I just like what the Holy Spirit lifted up in. Sometimes our hearts get a bit hard, and we don't even note if he walks in the door. And this is not condemning. I'm talking about my own life. There was a moment that the guy from the drying company, I thought he was the most arrogant guy I've seen under the sun. 2 days later, he says to me, Meneer, he calls me, he says, Meneer, you weet, ek dink ek moet deur die water gaan. Ek says, you guys are usually just taking the water out. And somewhere he picked up that we're Christians. And somewhere he just picked up that something's going on here. And all of a sudden he tells me, I need to get baptized. And now my heart can be so overwhelmed by the many things of this horrifying experience. Well, I can realize here's a guy that's had a hard, hard life, that works ridiculous hours, that is quite, or seemingly a bit arrogant, but he catches something here in the Spirit. He catches that there's a need here. There's something in my life that the Holy Spirit is addressing in this place. And it's not me, believe me, because I wasn't perfect this week in this whole ordeal. I needed to ask God, God help me to act as a Christian. But in that moment, he tells me, I need to get baptized. And I started to minister to him and ministered to him a few times after that. But where is our hearts when troubled by the many things of life in day-to-day life? And maybe a shocking question, but I pose it to myself, but where's our heart sometimes as groot mense, as werkende groot mense, even in church? Do we note when the King comes in and takes a seat? And then, like the leper, do we still choose to bow our knee? And I think that is a good question. Yeah, well, I posed it, so I can't say it's a good question, but I think it's a thought that we really need to think about. Mary was there for impartation. She realized that, well, I can connect here with Christ. I want his living words more than anything else. In Matthew 13, verse 44, it's one of the things that God's laid on my heart and Edna's heart before. It's that that thing that Jesus said, and you'll be reminded of it just now. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. Ronald referred to it earlier in his offering message, and that is that we can be so busy to focus on a lot of stuff, yet the one eternal thing that might be right in front of us, sometimes we do miss. The best part that lasts forever. The best part that is eternal. Another testimony in my life is I realized in this season that even God Himself, Christ Himself in His presence and connecting with Him is better than the fulfillment of His promises. The fulfillment of His promises, the fruit of His promises is really awesome. It is sweet. God promised you something, and you're waiting, and you eagerly wait for that, and that breakthrough comes. It is sweet, and it is really awesome. In our life, we went through the Malmesbury stage. We were plutzak a lot of times, and each time God came through, and it is really awesome, and it is sweet. God promised us that He will take us to the next season. He's going to take us to a new place, which He did. Even materially, God just came through and just lifted us up again. And it is amazing. And I don't take anything away from that. But that blessing in itself, that breakthrough in itself, is not Christ Himself. And I don't, but let me arrogant. Maar partykeer kan ons so wag op die ding van die Here en die ding, goed wat God deurbring en dan kom dit. Maar selfs dit is nie Christus self. En daar is weer iets wat Maria daar gevang het aan sy voete. Ek het een keer gery. I'm just quickly going to tell this in Afrikaans, if you don't mind. Ek het gery op die N7 terug huis toe, Mamasbury toe, en ek kom om te draai. En ek het net hierdie hongerte vir die Here. Maar ons druk van alle kante af, en ek is net soos, Here, ek het jou nodig. En ek sê net soos, Here, ek wil jou leer ken. I want to know you, Lord. I want to like know you. En ek sê, Lord, en ek dink het is 'n Engelse vraag, Lord, what gets you? Here, wat, nou, what gets you? Ek dink is die beste om te stel. And it might not have been the direct words, but what I just clearly felt in my heart at that moment is God saying exactly that. God saying exactly that. In other words, I ask Him, Lord, what gets you? What truly gets you? And He says to me, that. Wanting to get me, gets me. What gets your spouse? What gets your child? You wanting to get them. You wanting to love them. You wanting to be intimate with them. What got Jesus there? Mary wanting to be at His feet. Not doing cartwheels. Not doing flip-flops. Wanting Him. I believe that's what God is saying to us as a congregation and saying to me, Retief. You still want to get me? I can do wonderful stuff for my wife. I can buy her flowers and I can do all the things that she loves. But I can still miss her. We were in a situation where neither of us had a decent job or a salary for that matter. But we had a lot of time together. So days on end, we'll be at home with Frida. Not just in our house, but doing life together, not having lots of hours outside of our house, but spending time together, but still living past each other. not connecting. And she'll tell me, jou kop is alweer op ander dinge. Jou kop is besig. So I'll be there in person, but my head, my heart, might be anxious and busy with a bunch of other stuff. I'll spend 48 hours along her side, but I will not connect with her. Not because I don't like her, but because there's many things in my heart. There's many things that is troubling me. I cannot give my heart to my wife. I cannot truly give my time to my wife because there's many things in my heart. Do we want the good part? And sometimes it costs wanting the good part. Demi took the good part, and she thought the new pastor might be a bit religious, and he's going to call her aside. But she was willing to take the risk to have the good part, not wondering what this new guy is going to say. Are you willing to pay the price for the good part? I'm not saying I have it every day, but God weaned us out, and I'm very grateful for our previous season because I believe God, in many ways, gave us the good part. You can have a good part in any work you do. This was my road. But God placed it before us and said, I want to sit at my feet, and do you want the good part? Would you like the eternal value and the good part? That is me. And I believe that is the question that God puts to us as a church. Hey guys, do you want the good part? And we do. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but we do want the good part. Great, the time says we need to end off. That's a bit religious. Tiens Jacob said, church needs to be authentic. Church needs to be real. Something is authentic when it's done by the author. Not rocket science. And I'm not even English. But it's authentic if it's done by the author. My Christianity will be authentic if it's the author doing it. Collectively, we will be a prophetic community, an authentic church, if we just say, author, have your way. If he writes the story, it'll be authentic. And as Tien said, that is what will change a community. That is what will change my house, my marriage, and likewise yours. Sitting is moving. Am I willing, if everything is going haywire this week, and it doesn't feel like I can touch ground, am I willing not to try to do all the many things? Am I willing to sit down so that God can move? Am I, when I am without a job, I'm in Malmesbury, I have no idea what the heck is going on, am I willing like the leper, am I willing like Mary, to bow the knee and sit down? Am I willing to say, God, the move is on you? Because I believe the word is full and filled with examples where, as we sit down, as we kneel, he's a God that moves. And we're not going to stay sitting. And there's nothing wrong with moving either. But I pray, and it's my prayer for this time, that we'll have a Mary type heart. That priority is in our heart, to be able to be filled by him have Him as our first and foremost, our source, and to move out of that place. Let us pray for that. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that your word helps us today. Your word guides us today, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that out of our lives we know that when we sit down, Lord, and we meet face to face with you, we come to your feet, Lord, that you empower us and that you fill us and that we just all of a sudden realize why are we doing stuff? Why we want to do stuff with you, Lord. Lord, I pray for us as individuals, firstly, Lord, that we'll meet face to face with you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that we'll be filled by your presence, Lord. How it works for each and every one, that I don't know, Lord. But I know, Father God, that you're faithful, Lord, to guide each and every one of us to that place of intimacy with you, Lord. Father, as a church, we're only the sum, we're the sum of our relationships with you. That's what we are. Ons is die som totaal van ons individuele verhoudings met u. So I pray for that relationships to be blessed, Lord. Lord, and if, like we've touched on earlier, Lord, if hearts have become hard, and we might not have been in your presence for quite a while, I pray, Lord, that you'll have grace on us, and because we know you want to see us, and we know you want to spend time with us, I pray that you'll lure us back to that place, Father God, of your presence. Maybe take a minute, if you don't mind, and just pray this through with the Lord. I'm not going to ask anybody to put up their hands or do anything weird. Chat to the Lord. We're here because of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why we're here, firstly. There's a lot of other reasons we're here otherwise, but just maybe spend a moment, and if the Holy Spirit has placed some of those many things in your life before you, pray around it. Ask Lord, help me not to succumb to this many things. And then, if your heart has even become a bit hard, like Demi earlier testified, ask God to take out the heart of stone. Give you a heart of flesh again. And a hunger and a thirst for Him Himself and for His presence. And to be filled up with Him daily. So take a moment, if you don't mind, and pray that through the Lord. Lord, thank you that you love us. You don't have any favorites. We're all your favorite, Lord. But Lord, as I earlier testified, Father God, we want to get you, Lord, like you got us. We want to know you, Lord, like you know us. You paid a dear price for us, Lord, and we want to get that heart as well. We want to love in the way that you love us. And then, Lord, we'll be that community of believers that we ought to be. We'll just say, Lord, have mercy on us, help us, and lead us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that will guide us in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, for awesome times of connecting with you in this next week. We trust you, Lord, to connect with you. However you decide, Lord. And in that place, we thank you that you're going to fill us. You're going to feed us. And that living waters will flow from our bellies. That our cups will overflow. And that will be a blessing to the people out there. Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. If there's prayer requests or something that we've touched on that really got stuck there in your heart, please come forward and we'll pray. Or please go stand at the back and we can pray. Whatever, but let's just pray.